visit Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk. Present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 269. I'm Adam and I haven't got a quote because I've been very, very busy. And here's Mary Lang.
We have a few men. They consume food. They perform no particular function.
Jason Chuang.
Aren't those tumblies or something like that?
And Burby Cartlett Sloan.
We know what this machine's for. This is to convert air into ammonia gas.
And we have excuses, which we're not allowed to read out due to Rhys Parton's new lawsuit in regarding his book of excuses. Nobody's allowed to use any of the excuses in that book. And bearing in mind, I have not finished! Bearing in mind, every excuse in the history of the planet is in Rhys Parton's book of excuses. Therefore, no more excuses. Yes?
Debbie says, hoping to join by 9.
Very precise.
Yes.
And speaking of Rhys Parton, he kind of accidentally joined the group for a couple messages.
Yeah, did you see that? Did anybody sarcastically say, who the bloody hell are you? If you managed to struggle out of your love bed for 5 seconds to join in a conversation on the 20 megabyte group page. Yeah. Talking of group pages, yes, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. That's a little plug there.
You can? Really?
Apparently so. So this week we'll be looking at, among other things, and other things not necessarily related to Doctor Who as per usual, Galaxy 4. Right, shall we get started?
Galaxies 1, 2 and 3.
Oh yeah, you're right. I need to open up my jingles folder. Let's see. It's your usual timing of bad comedy does tend to remind me about opening up my jingles folder. I've got a very strange scenario. I know that my misbehaving Mac, it's been behaving itself for 2 days. So let's see how it gets on by doing a very complicated thing.
My new laptop is behaving itself very well.
Yeah, I'll just see how it gets on with doing a complicated thing like playing a DVD. What was that funny noise?
I don't know. Was it hearing?
That was a very weird noise. Did you hear it? It was a vroom. Was it a chumbly?
Maybe.
Right, so we begin with the TARDIS materialising in a weird sort of half desert, half sort of petrified forest sort of environment. And, how do we watch this? Was it all reconstruction, by the way, everybody?
Well, no, episode 3 was a real...
No, I know that, but how did obviously people tend to not sometimes have access to
these? Of us watched different versions. Mm. For instance, I watched the slightly over an hour-long combined reconstruction / live version that was on the Aztec Special Edition.
What's the Guns N' Roses got to do with it?
Oh, I watched every reconstructed episode.
I have all the reconstructed episodes, but I wasn't expecting to be on the podcast today, so I didn't watch the reconstructions.
I told you, that isn't Reese. Apologies, please. I'd just like to say that no copyright infringement intended in another excuse that, or should we call it a reason? It was a reason, wasn't it, Kirby? That
a reason.
It was a reason, yes.
A reason.
Right, so
I watched most of the reconstruction, loose cannon stuff, and then I also watched the one that was on the Aztec DVD as well.
Yes, Debbie was seemed to be having trouble finding the episode, but obviously somebody, probably Zabi Overlord, has published it.
Yes, he has.
Daily Motion. It's very, very naughty. I mean, kind of him, wasn't it?
And then who was it? Robert came on Facebook saying, "What's Zabi Overlord?"
Somebody just had a plane going past their window. Meanwhile, yes, as I was saying, they've landed on a weird planet, and a strange sort of robot arrives, which Vicky instantly says it has a bit of a chumbly movement. I'd love to know what a chumbly movement is.
Excuse me, Master?
Yes?
It's too bad that the chumbly didn't come along and then silently beckon to them and take them to the Green Dome, where they'd be called, you are number six. One of the Chumblies has Angela Muscat inside of it, who was the butler in The Prisoner a few years later.
Yes. And wasn't there, were you talking about the chap that was also in Willy Wonka film?
Yes.
As a munchkin.
But not a munchkin. He's not munchkin.
What, they called him Willy Wonka?
Oompa Loompas,
that's it, yes.
Which I never really realized that until last week. I'm going to have to go back and watch Willy Wonka.
It's all right for those of us who have time.
So I was going to ask you guys this, because I know there's only part of the episode, you know, we found episode three and part of episode one. I mean, if there was ever a chance to find the entirety, would you, I mean, I don't know, I mean, I saw it as well, and I'm not going to say opinion yet, but what would you think if you're able to see the whole thing in its entirety?
I'd like to see any Doctor Who in its entirety.
I'd love to see any of them.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But what we have got now is pretty good.
Episode three, you know, gives us kind of a tempting insight into what it was probably like. Mm.
And there's a big chunk of episode one as well, which was in existence. Was that in the reconstructions, the chunk of episode one?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also the loose cannon version I had, I also had that part that they showed in that reconstruction from the DVD as well.
Yeah. Another interesting
noise. What was that?
That's a Chumbly. So basically they get rescued by this a fairly attractive woman, according to Stephen, who's a little bit sexist in his sort of reaction to the driving. So didn't actually need to be rescued, we find out later, but they nevertheless get rescued. They get taken back to this spaceship where they meet the very snooty Marga. Who's got very weird teeth. It's the thing that...
Yeah, she does. It's a real pointy.
Yeah, it's very irritating.
She's got little dots on her head, too.
That too.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a... I don't know if it was a Star Trek Next Generation or a Star Trek original series or the animated series, which I must try and get hold of at some point, in which they go to a planet where all of the women are... all the people, inhabitants, are women. I'm pretty sure it was the animated series, actually. It did rather remind me of that. And bearing in mind, this came out first, another rip-off by Star Trek.
Of course. Not
Doctor Who. But not to say I don't love Star Trek. Talking of Star Trek, slight deviation here. I've just finished listening to the full version of William Shatner's autobiography. It was 10 hours long and thoroughly engrossing and fascinating and well worth another listen. What?
Was it... narrated.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, he deliberately put some Shatnerisms into it, yes. But yeah, no, I'll tell you, what a fascinating story. And he does tend to tell it in a way we would sort of, I'm doing it Shatnerism, we would do a podcast, because he doesn't tell the story from start to finish. He starts somewhere and then he'll go back to the beginning and then he'll talk about something else and then he'll pick up the story again. It's very much like a after dinner party speaking, but for 10 hours.
That's like multiple squirrel moments there or something.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, obviously, if you prefer to read than listen to audiobooks, I'll tell you what, it's a book that's got to be got by any fan of Star Trek and William Shatner, of which I am. And it's very sadly written before the death of Leonard Nimoy, so obviously he talks very affectionately about Leonard, and obviously we know now that...
He probably doesn't talk affectionately about George Takei.
No, they
don't like each other.
He didn't really talk much about George Takei. He did talk about the dislike between him and Walter Koenig and James Doohan. Back to Doctor Who. Right, so we find that the Dravins are sort of rather stuck on this planet, which is going to explode.
In 11 days?
Apparently so. And
or is it two?
They realise that the Doctor and his friends have arrived via a spaceship, and I think maybe they can sneak off in the spaceship somehow, but obviously the Doctor's having nothing of that. They are allowed to sneak back to the TARDIS. Why do they initially go back to the TARDIS? I can't remember now.
I think they were trying to check on some stuff to verify.
Yeah, that's right, to find out whether the planet's going to blow up or not, wasn't it? Yeah. So Stephen had to stay behind as a hostage,
Actually, Vicky's the first one that stays.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. Vicky. So it's the Stephen and the Doctor go back to the TARDIS. Thanks for the correction. And then the Doctor finds that they've only got a couple of days before the planet explodes. But they say, well, keep that from the drive-in, or from Margo specifically. But it's not long before Margo persuades the Doctor to tell her the truth. And then Vicky and the Doctor go out in search of the real ship, and Stephen's kept as hostage, or as guest, as Margo puts it. And they soon discover that, yeah, because the Doctor sets up, he's got a machine there that he's going to poison the Rill. So he starts rigging this machine to poison the Rill, whereas Vicky actually goes in and meets them and finds that the might be a bit ugly, but quite half decent people. Well,
yeah,
things.
So and they didn't look that bad.
No, they didn't. Sorry, Mary?
So they look like warthogs.
They did, of what we could see of them. Meanwhile, Marga is sort of a bit like a mad dictator with a massive tribe of four. And it sort of just hates the Rill. But the Rill do actually tell a story of what really happened when the drive-ins arrived. That there was an injured drive-in which Marga kills, even though Marga's told the story that it's the Rill that kills her. And they actually did a flashback sequence for that, but not in this episode. You're losing me, aren't you? It's all gone very quiet.
We're here.
You're kind of jumping around in the story. So.
No, it's a bit of a difficult one to follow when it's a reconstruction.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, this Draven's been put on guard to Stephen, and he pretends he's asleep, surprise, surprise, and is able easily to overcome her by a little chop to the neck. And he sort of gets away a little bit while Vicky makes friends with the aliens, as she always tends to do. Like I say, we did get a flashback sequence of the murder of the Draven soldier, which apparently is... I didn't work out whether it was actually a clone, or whether it was actually a robot, these Dravins, because they say that, or Margar says that she's the original, she's a real person, whereas the others are, you know, they're not real people. So I was a bit confused by that. Anybody able to shed any light on that?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think she ever states that a clone or robot. I don't think she ever does. I assumed clones.
Yeah, I have to assume now it's clones, but they haven't really mentioned clones in any science fiction up to this point. Anyway, when Vicky realises that the Rill actually quite friendly, she sort of runs back to the Doctor to stop him from, you know, completing his mission to poison them. I know this is a bit all over the place, but I'm trying to fill in the actual parts of the story that count. So the Doctor is immediately, you know, realises that the Rill are okay, and there's a great bit, actually, I forgot to mention, where the sort of universal translator works out English to enable them to speak to the Rill, who's adopted an extremely posh and pompous voice. Quite understand why. But I did recognise that posh, pompous voice from an earlier story, and I think it may well have been Keys of Marinus. All right, maybe not.
It's Robert Cartland.
Yeah, was he in Keys of Marinus?
Apparently not.
No, okay. Well, it's obviously everybody in the BBC had to talk in that BBC posh voice in that particular era. So, the Rill talked to the Doctor and Vicky via a Chumbly, in this very posh, pompous voice. And essentially, they sort of find out there is a way they could save the Rill by using TARDIS power. But they'd have a limited period of time that would only give them a short window of opportunity to get back into the TARDIS. Surprise, surprise. So meanwhile, the Doctor does actually attach a cable to the TARDIS to sort of charge up the Rill's ship. In that time, Stephen is stuck in the airlock of the driving ship.
Which may be why that episode's called Airlock.
Yes, and... Margot very kindly removes all the air very slowly as well from the airlock, but insists she doesn't actually want to kill him. She, I don't know what she wants to do to him. She wants to remove the air. But eventually, the Doctor and Vicky get back and rescue him. And, yeah, so they...
By using a Chumbly.
They're using a Chumbly. And...
excuse me.
Yeah, one Chumbly gets done in by getting hit by a stick, which I thought was...
The metal pipe.
Yeah, we thought that, you know, its shape and design, it probably would have just sort of collapsed itself down and avoided getting damaged
not
by
that
it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so the final episode is basically the... there's a great graphic, actually, in the reconstruction of all the rills standing together. sort of.
How do they know that that's what the full thing looked like? Because, I mean, we obviously saw the face in the in Airlock. Mm. But how do they know that the full ones look like that? I guess there's design someplace.
There must be, yeah.
Well, no, they said that something that I was reading about this said that they went for years having no idea what this creature looked like, and then, you know, by happenstance, someone came across a very old photo of one. Yeah. So that's all they've ever known was that photo until Airlock came out.
Yeah, exactly.
But well, thank God they found that episode. At least you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's always thank God when they find Doctor Who episodes. Don't matter how good or bad they are. Excuse me.
I guess you heard about that little cryptic tweet a few days ago by BBC Worldwide.
I didn't see that. Go on, tell me more.
We hope to have something in the near future or something. I don't remember exact words. I'm like, they were just kind of hinted that something might happen. But
they've also canceled the Underwater Menace DVD release again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, so after fully charging the real ship, the Doctor, Vicky, and Stephen run back to the TARDIS, pursued by... Marga and her massive fleet of soldiers, and then escape, and then they watch the planet explode, killing the remaining Draven.
And, boom.
Yeah, end of. So, right, Galaxy 4. It's okay, actually. It's a sort of interesting story, especially the aspect of having quite a large female cast. She's quite unusual for Doctor Who at this particular period of time. And, yes, thank you for that.
What was that?
Really should call this the Silly Noise podcast. I'm hesitant to say what I think of it because I've got a funny feeling Mary's going to pan it really badly. But once again... I actually quite enjoyed it. I think it was quite an innovative idea for a story, and I think that the also they played it quite well, that you thought that the Dravins were supposed to be the goodies, turned out to be the baddies, and then, you know, the Rills were baddies, but actually looked like baddies, but actually were goodies, and, you know, things like that. I just think it was a bit melodramatic in some areas in regards to the Rills. But on the whole, I thought it was a fairly good story. Quite enjoyed it. Jason?
I thought it was kind of a mixed bag to me. I mean, there's some good parts to it, and other parts I felt were a bit too cheesy to me about it, I guess.
That's what I'm referring to in regards to the melodrama of the Rills.
Yeah, the Rills and the Chumbly. I mean, the Chumblys were enjoyable for what they were, but it just felt like certain things were just kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know, maybe it's because it felt like some parts were just dragging along or something through the story and stuff like that.
Mm. All done.
I mean, overall, okay. I mean, good. But I mean, like I said, I guess the good thing, at least, of course, finding that episode and having an idea what that monster looked like. So put some good perspective of what the monster, I guess, turned out to was on the good side.
Mm.
So that was good to at least get that idea from what I heard and stuff like that.
Thank you. Do you know what it sounds like, that noise? It sounds like, you know, when you get hit over the head with a cardboard tube you get for the mail.
Or one of those lightsabers.
Yeah, vroom.
Yeah, it's that vroom noise of a lightsaber.
Yeah. I reckon it's Jason. I've got a funny feeling. I'm going to blame him anyway. Right, Kirby, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I went into this one expecting just kind of a mediocre story, and I was thoroughly hooked by it. Of course, it may be worse if you watch the entire 2-hour version instead of the 1 hour version I saw. Possibly the cutting, the editing in the reconstruction on the Aztecs.
I'll tell you what I did.
May have improved it. I don't know. I loved what I saw.
I watched the reconstruction up to the end of the surviving episode, and then I watched episode 4 on Daily Motion. So I actually was longer than an hour for me. Probably more like an hour and 15 minutes. So I actually got more out of it that way.
That's my opinion of it. I can't really talk much more about it because I wasn't expecting to be here today.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. I suppose we better prepare ourselves.
Yes.
It's Mary. Listen to Mary tear it apart.
Yeah, exactly. As per blimmin' usual. So, here goes. And await.
Well, I found, like Jason, I found it to be a mixed bag, but mostly on the boring side. And not just because it was a reconstruction. It just seemed like there was no hurry to do anything. and it seemed like the writer kind of gave up after episode 3. He told his story. And now we're just waiting around for them to escape in the TARDIS because we spend more time with everybody checking their clocks and watches and how much longer do we have? And I was asking myself the same question by the end of that episode. It's like, can we do something besides, walk back and forth between the ships and string out wire and watch clocks to see what time it is? So I really did not like the fourth episode. And unfortunately, it was hard to understand everything because the dialogue was so, what do I say, the soundtrack that was played, at least the one that I heard through Daily Motion, was so corrupted at times, that I really couldn't even understand what people were saying. So maybe if I could have understood them better, but I doubt it that would have added to any enjoyment. And I found it curious. Right in the first episode, the doctor takes umbrage at, the fact that he would kill anything. He says, I don't kill anything, anywhere. And yet he doesn't give a backward glance to the explosion of the planet, which is killing the Draavins.
Really, he didn't kill them though, really, did he? I mean,
care about that.
That planet was going to explode. He didn't kill them.
No, I know, but he could have saved
the planet. The planet killed them.
Yeah.
I did not see any effort like I see in many of the doctors to come along later, to try to save, look, this is your chance, you can repent, come with me, or you're going to die. But none of that. They just kind of fended them off and ran away and let them die. I was also wondering about the title, Galaxy 4. That's not the name of the planet they were at or anything. It was where the Draavins came from. They came from the planet Brava in Galaxy 4, so why is this whole thing called that, I wonder? Didn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's a good point, because often they'll name these things after, like, the episodes, and none of the episodes is named Galaxy 4 either.
I've got to try and turn the volume down, but I can't reach it.
One thing I really did enjoy was Maga's face to the camera in episode 3, telling it, the delicious delivery of imagining her enemy's death. How naming every detail of how she could see that they were going to die. And I thought, ooh, this is pretty chilling.
Yeah.
And then her frustration with her soldier clones. With them not appreciating any of that or anything she had to say.
So that's the co-founder of the show has just entered the room.
I did enjoy.
Watching the reconstruction is a little bit harder, but watching the condensed version on the DVD, to me made it a little bit better in my mind.
Okay.
In my mind, watching as those loose cannons are just a little bit harder to get through to me at times.
Well, they are, because they're just basing pictures, onto the soundtrack.
Yeah, and I would have watched that one if I had I would watch that version, except I didn't expect to be here today.
Yeah, you know, and whenever you can't tell what's going on, they run little banners telling you what's going on, which is nice.
Yeah, I think they do a pretty good job.
They even come in with little reconstructions of their own, you know, little fake people.
Yeah, I mean, like the Trembly, or even like you see the Dr. Van or something, you know, someone.
Yeah, yeah, and you see
Van or something like that.
You see the back of a Draven as she hits the Jumbly with the steel pipe. You know, it's, you know, they all just kind of inserted all of this, which is kind of nice. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but I found it a real snore.
Okay. Well,
I didn't.
No. Yeah, we know that. You made me think of something earlier on, but I've forgotten what I was going to say now. But it's reconstructions. Yeah, obviously we've got quite a lot of these reconstructions to work, which is a new challenge for me, which I'm quite enjoying in some ways.
Me too.
Because I'm getting more.
I don't know how much you guys.
The shouting and arguing in the other room.
I mean, that's kind of been jumping around. But,
the dog is running here for cover.
I don't want to spoil it too much, but I'm Hiram had passed away. He and I talked about the reconstruction. We said he made a good point that, because he had said all of it. He made a good point that when you listen to like the William Hartnell, you know, reconstruction, you know, like since William Howard kind of has a commanding voice, or kind of, I wouldn't say arrogant, but you know, you can hear it. He's talking and describing it is. And then, you know, Patrick Troughton's more of a comedy, you know, more physical actor in it. And then when you ride or watch a reconstruction with his later on, it's, you have to use a lot of imagination to get an idea of what he's Troughton's doctor is referring to about certain points in the story. I might not say which ones, but you'll, when you get to the Troughton stories, you may understand what I'm saying later on.
Have you seen quite a lot of the reconstructions then?
Yeah, I've seen, like I said, I've jumped around. I haven't like seen them in order, but I've jumped around. I've watched some of the Troughton reconstructions, and some of those are a little harder to get into at times, I think.
This is my first real delve into reconstructions properly. And it's something I really should have done in the past, but I'm glad I hadn't, because like I say, it's a new thing for me to actually be able to experience even more Doctor Who than I've done in the past. Because even if it isn't complete, it's still more complete than I've actually, you know, right. I've sort of experienced previously. So, and also it's going to be a real challenge, even though I've listened to the audio of the Dalek Master Plan, to actually see it in, you know, a reconstructed form, including its for surviving episodes.
Actually, I have seen that one in its reconstruction / surviving episodes as well. And that's one story I wish we had the entirety, especially the one that's probably the one that's kind of like a comedy episode in between.
The Christmas one.
Christmas, the Feast. Yeah. I think it's called The Feast of Stephen.
It is, yeah.
That's the one I wish to really wish they had footage of, but most likely it's probably gone forever.
Yeah, probably. But yes, I've got a visual sort of imagining of that particular story. I've listened to it once, so I'll be fascinated to see what the reconstruction looks like of that one. It was a real romp, that one. So, right. I suppose it's time to move on to a bit of feedback, which is going to be a challenge in itself for me. But I'm up to a challenge now. The girls in the other room are arguing, so I might be allowed to turn up the audio, because the fact that they're arguing, they won't be able to hear me because they're louder than the audio. So bear with me, I'm just going to turn the audio back up again now. Ouch. Just trod on a load of cables. That was really quite painful. Right, here we go. Right.
Your sound quality changed.
Yes, because I moved. Look, there's two microphones, right? One I record my audio with, which is right in front of me, and one you're listening to me with, which is on top of the Mac, which is like a couple of feet away. So I have to go and turn up the audio so you can hear me. I mean, you can hear sound of it. Oh, it doesn't matter. Does it? Yes. What's that?
Yes,
stop
it does.
Hitting me over the head with that tube, for goodness sake.
Right. Where is that coming from?
I don't know, but I think it might be. I'm just hazarding a guess, because we've never heard that noise before. I think it might be Jason. Right, so we've got some feedback. A few weeks ago, in fact, the 15th of June, Rick Stevens, good old Rick, who I keep forgetting the name of, sorry, Rick, said, just a quickie, as I know you are in the middle of recording now, which we were then, I thought I should start playing catch-up, as I haven't watched many Hartnells, to be honest. Oh, did I do this last time? Everyone has gone quiet, so I presume not. So, I'm in the last few days, I've watched The Chase, Time Meddler, and Three Quarters of Galaxy 4. I have actually enjoyed all more than I expected, but won't talk of Galaxy 4 until next week. Rick, you haven't talked about it this week either. I like the look of the Dalek time machine, which to me looks like it was called back to In the Name of the Doctor, when you see the TARDIS on Gallifrey looking like a tube. I know that during the times of the First Doctor, we had yet to be exposed to any specific terms like Time Lords and Gallifrey, but when the Monk and the Doctor are talking, you are just urging them on to use the names you expect the Doctor to say. I liked Stephen's introduction, and what a beard. Anyway, I'll keep it short and less jumping around next time. Oh, and finally, thanks for the shout-out last week. That was actually even longer ago. Did I do that one last week? If I did, I didn't think it hurt having a re-airing of that particular bit of feedback. Right, I've got to now scroll through a load of messages from the 20... No. Yes, sorry. No,
you did do that one last week.
Well, some people might not have been listening last week, so would have therefore missed out. I'm pretty sure I got some feedback from Robert Haynes, or by proxy through Robert Haynes, who said he saw someone posted some message about us somewhere. Does anybody remember seeing that? Is it? Am I doing this podcast solo? I mean, God's sake.
No.
I don't remember.
I don't know what you speak. Are you talking in the Facebook group, or are you talking
Maybe you sent it to me personally. I thought you sent it onto our little little sort of chatting. Oh, no, he sent it to me personally.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Hang on, this is very rare. Oh, God, no, I accidentally opened up Robert Haynes' Facebook page. Right, let's see if I can get this to work. How do you get it to enlarge so I can actually read it all? Right. This is slick. Right, here. This is what he says. It said, "Hi, Adam." This is from Robert. And then he says, "Here's Donald Tosh's Facebook profile." What? Script editor. That's nothing to do with our... That's ages ago. For God's sake, Robert. Bear with me. Ah, here we are. This is it. I should have actually prepared all this. Who's making a cup of tea?
I am.
Right.
Honestly, I am.
Right. Hi, Adam. Just thought I'd give you some feedback on something. On forums that I go on, two of them, I put links to both the 20 Megabyte podcast and the Stories from the Vortex podcast. Never heard of that one. One guy messaged to say he started listening to the 20 Megabyte podcast, 3 so far. God, it's a long way to go if he's listened to episode 3. He said he's really enjoying it. Bloody hell, just wait till Alicia leaves the show. Here's what he had to say. Here are, this is the actual message. Started listening to the 20 Megabyte podcast, and I really enjoy it. Listened to 3 so far, The Crusade, The Space Museum, and The Chase. It's a great excuse to re-watch the old stories at the moment, and I ended up watching The Time Meddler today, and even writing some feedback too. It has also got me to watch my first ever reconstruction.
Wow.
Galaxy 4. So, yes, that was a sort of bit of feedback by proxy. So thanks, Robert, for sending that in. I did actually ask Robert, that I said, that's nice, providing me with that. How about providing me with some feedback yourself, Robert? He sort of made an excuse, and that was about as far as it got. Right, let's see what else we've got on the... proverbial great line. Mary, you're quite good at picking up on things that arrive on the 20 Megabyte podcast Facebook group. That's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group that you can join. Because things go past me because I'm so busy, you see. Has anything interesting popped up apart from comments from Rhys Parton?
No, I mean, Ian Kirk sent in feedback.
Yeah, but that's obviously going to be on the show anyway.
Yeah. No.
Well, I've got some feedback. This is going to be quite interesting. So, we'll play it.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyters. Andy Lynn here. It's 9:25 on Saturday night, and I'm sitting here with a glass of Sauvignon Blanc, which is slipping down nicely. Just back for the Oval, watching cricket. I would pause for Kirby to snore, but of course, Kirby's at a con, as he's pointed out to me on Messenger, which I forgot. Apologies, Kirby. You might be listening to this. good day. Dean Elgar was out for 98. Very frustrating. His last game at Surrey, and he missed out his first 100, but that's life, isn't it? Anyway, Galaxy 4.
I know, he talks so fast.
Yeah, but like Galaxy 4, that wasn't bad. I mean, I watched it as a recon, with the obvious exception of the episode that came like a few years ago. And it's not a bad story. It's an interesting twist on the fact that the people you think of are the good guys, you know, the gorgeous, well, relatively gorgeous ladies are, in fact, the bad ones, and the reals are the good guys. And so, a bit of a twist there, because the initial reactions, of course, turn out to be wrong. It's just a bit commonplace, really, I suppose, isn't it? You know, you should never let perceptions and prejudice really undermine what you should really think. I think that's possibly the moral of its story, and I think that's what the Doctor brings through for them. What I did enjoy about this story was the way that when they split the TARDIS crew up into different components, the way they all acted individually, where they would interact with their own surroundings, their own situations. I thought that Stephen being taken prisoner and not exactly exerting his masculinity, because I think it wasn't that way. I mean, that's too much of a sexy viewpoint. What he's doing is actually challenging his captors, his guards, to really think about what are you actually going to do? What are you actually trying to do here? What are you trying to achieve? And I think that's something that really works. And the Doctor, he was trying, obviously, to con them when he found out, yeah, really how long the planet had left, you know, rather than the 400 dawns. And also whether he was challenging them to, again, to think, why only situation, what can you do about it? Is warfare the only way forward, which clearly them is what? It's a very, very narrow-minded thinking that he's trying to challenge them to do. So I think that point of view, it worked. It was a bit difficult to follow on the recon, because obviously it was a mixture of the one episode. You also clips of it that had come back. But when you're suddenly watching it and it's stills flashing back and forth, the same still repeat, and then suddenly you get a bit of action, then you're back to a still. It did make it difficult. So I didn't enjoy it from that point of view. I think I've read the book. Yeah, the book's not bad. I think this is one of those that if we were able to watch it, you know, if it ever does all come back, I think people enjoy it more. It will make more sense. But other than that, yeah, it was okay. So, so really, that's about it, really. Debbie, hope Harley gets better. Greetings, all Americans. I think we've got the American invasion of the podcast with obviously Mary and not Mary, beg your pardon, Mary. Well, yeah, she's American, there. Debbie, yeah, not being there, me not being there. Jason, if you did join it, hope you enjoyed it. And Matthew, one day I will record a podcast with you. Until then, be seeing you.
That was Andy Nunney, by the way, everybody.
It was really.
It's quite amusing to me that only me and the British listeners of the show actually understood what he was saying.
Yes,
we Americans would love to have you turn the speed down a little bit so we could understand.
Yes. We like you to slow your roll a little bit sometimes.
That was an experience, wasn't it?
Yes.
It's like having a very slow Mac.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast of the UK. We have a bank holiday in the UK in 9 weeks. I expect Doctor Who to be back by then. Or soon after.
We can't hear that.
We can't hear it.
Galaxy 4 by Women Mems.
1 minute I have to turn it down. The next minute I've got to turn it up. God's sake. They're still arguing in the other room anyway, so right, I'll turn it right up now. Right.
No, we're such a complaining group.
Ian Kirk's feedback.
That's why we live in America.
Ian Kirk's feedback.
That's all we know how to do.
Take two.
Yeah. Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. We have a bank holiday in the UK in 9 weeks. I expect Doctor Who to be back by then. Or soon after. Galaxy 4 by Women Mems. The idea of a planet of women is quite popular in science fiction. The idea of clones being inferior has been seen again in science fiction. The Dromans are from Galaxy 4. I wonder if the writers of Doctor Who knew the difference between the galaxy and the planetary system. Star Trek often visited planets which were about to be destroyed.
That's true.
Vicky seems a lot more aggressive in this story. And Peter Purvis says the scripts were written for Ian and Barbara.
Ah.
I suppose the last Chumbly could not become a companion, as it could not talk without a girl present. It could have stood in for the tin dog. Margaret was played by Stephanie Bidmead. She was from Birmingham.
And she had funny teeth.
People from Birmingham are called Brummies, because Brum is short for Birmingham. Perhaps the people of Chorlton cum Hardy should be called Chumblies. The Driving Soldiers were the first clones on Doctor Who, several years before the Sontarans.
Ah.
I think one of the Jarvins must have escaped to Earth and become Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous.
How true.
Bye for now.
Yes, everybody. That was Ian Kirk, everyone.
It was? Really?
Yes. That's it for feedback, although there was a note that we were going to get more feedback from Robert's friend.
I totally forgot about that part where Ian said, because I did remember watching on the reconstruction, he did say, Peter Purvis said that he was, that it was originally written for both Ian and Barbara at the time, you know, written it for them at the time. I'm glad he made that point. I totally forgot about that. I think you mentioned it.
Anyway, I apologise to listeners who may be able to hear the blazing row that's going on in the other room, as the co-founder of the show and the, Alpha Debbie are currently going at each other, hammer and tongs, while Deb does Alicia's hair. So
I can't hear a thing.
Well, you're not a very sensitive piece of recording equipment like I have in front of me at the moment. So, to try and drown out such horrible noises, it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
And I won't.
No, you're right. Right. That's a shame that Debbie couldn't have joined us a little bit earlier, if indeed she will join us
if
at all.
If she joins us at all.
Right, so not very many questions.
She said that she may be able to join us in at the top of the hour. Yeah,
she
so
said that before
might...
and never turned up, so I'm not going to bank on it. Right. So let's just see if I can reposition my equipment so I can do all three things at the same time. This is like multitasking. This mouse there.
I can't do very well either. Like I said, the soundtrack was corrupted enough in three of those episodes.
You're going to win.
What did I say at the top of the show, Mary? No excuses.
You're going to win.
Right. First question goes to Jason. Are you ready, Jason?
Jason.
Go ahead.
Right. What did the doctor tell Stephen that their situation was not, as it was a scientific expedition?
Say it one more time.
What did the doctor tell Stephen that their situation was not, as it was a scientific expedition?
I guess it wasn't as somewhere dangerous, I guess.
I know.
Oh, apparently Kirby knows.
Joyride.
What was it?
A joyride. It isn't a joyride, actually.
Okay.
I remember that.
That's what I say. It was not a joyride. It's not a joyride. That's what
I think you're going to conveniently remember a lot of parts.
Mary.
No, I am not Andy, who apparently sits with a script.
No, apparently you're Cher, but we have to put up with that.
Or Debbie.
Right. Yes, Mary. What planet did the three suns remind the Doctor of?
Zeros?
Yay!
Yeah, I knew it sounded like Xerox. So,
Kirby,
that places you ahead, by the way.
Kirby,
master,
what technology was borrowed for the Draven's door? So, what
I haven't the foggiest.
What planet's technology was borrowed for the Draven's door? Right, that's what it should have been. Right. What did you say?
I have no idea.
The Draven's door.
Yes. Anybody?
No.
No.
Dalek. It's the same sound effect was used.
Sound effect. Okay.
Yes.
You didn't make that.
No. But obviously, no. If they use yes, but if you think about it in the aspect that they, the sound,
like,
yeah. So therefore, that they use Dalek technology for the door because it's the same sound effect. That's what the question's getting at. It's quite an easy one. And Jason understands what I'm saying, don't you, Jason?
Yeah.
Thank you. Right, Jason, this is your question. How long will it be until the planet explodes, according to Marga?
Why did I pay attention to this stuff?
I know.
I want to say, was it a week?
Apparently Mary knows.
Doesn't she say 14 dawns?
Kirby. Yay. Sorry, Mary. This is your question.
Yay.
What did
I tell you, Mary's going to win.
Shut up. What did the doctor say to be quiet? What did the doctor say to Stephen that he had excelled himself at? You won't get this one.
Yeah, you won't.
Is that your answer then? No? It's all gone very quiet. All right, time's up. Anybody?
No.
The answer
we knew
was
Debbie. She would know.
Force barrier was the answer. He excelled himself at the force
and
barrier.
Andy would know because he would have read it.
Yes. Kirby.
And Debbie would have 36 pages of notes.
Kirby. All right, this is your question. Who did the doctor think must be resurrected? Sorry, must have been resurrected. Sorry. Who did the doctor think must have been resurrected?
Oh, that's easy. Guy Fawkes.
He didn't say that's easy, Guy Fawkes, but I gave you the point. Anyway. Right. So, Jason.
Go ahead.
What was the first reason the doctor could not help the Dravins?
I guess he didn't have the technology to help them out.
Anybody?
No, don't know.
He never kills anything.
Oh.
Oh.
Mary.
Yes.
What did Vicky surmise the first piece of real technology they came across might be?
Ooh. Don't know.
Anybody?
A Chumbly.
Nope. It's, you didn't get that one. It was the air purifier. She said it was an air purifier. And it was, apparently.
Well, I thought the first real technology they ran across was the Chumbly. Technically.
Point deducted for being overly pedantic. Right.
The better for Mary to win.
Right, who's, whose question was that? That was Mary's, wasn't it?
That was mine.
What, the air purifier one?
I think so.
Oh, no,
yeah, that one. Was his.
Therefore, this is Jason's question. He's very excited. And here it is. What smell could Vicky detect in the real ship? And no, I hadn't farted in it. What smell could Vicky detect in the real ship?
It's easy.
Shut up, Kirby.
Oh, God, I don't remember.
Anybody? Apparently Kirby knows.
Ammonia.
Ah, that's on the top of my head.
I told you it was easy.
Right. Yeah, I should have said the first thing in my head.
Mary.
Yes?
How many rills were there before the initial crash?
Oh, darn, I don't know.
12.
Kirby.
Master.
Why could Stephen not get out of the airlock?
Because Maga had locked it.
Anybody?
Does it have to do with the dropping air pressure?
Correct. Right.
Oh, that's right. The dropping air pressure keeps the door from being
opened. The
pressure
had locked the door. That's right. Right. Jason, what, according to Marga, is never tolerated?
Is it asking about a person or something?
And Marga says, bleep. Is never tolerated. Not bleep. I'm just finished, so you fill in the gap. And it's just which is rather appropriate because this particular theme tune to this quiz is that they seem due to blankety blank.
I don't know.
So,
I don't know. Yes.
You don't know. Okay. Therefore, we get that. Anybody?
Nope.
Well, the answer is failure. Failure is never tolerated.
Well, that means I can't tolerate it because I'm failing.
Because you're a failure.
Right. Mary.
Yeah.
Once Stephen arrived at the real ship, how long did the doctor estimate was left?
Oh, this is one of the many times things.
Yes.
What, like an hour and a half?
Oh, no. That's
right. Yes, Kirby?
I was thinking it was a two dawns, but that's incorrect.
No, it's incorrect. Yes, so you get one of those. The answer is 6 hours.
Oh, okay.
Kirby. A Chumbly is
Ooh,
made...
Me,
yes,
me,
you.
Me.
Your name's Kirby, is it not?
Master.
Shut up. A Chumbly is made up of how many bowl shapes on top of each other.
Four.
You looked at the picture then, didn't you? No, that was correct. Sorry. Sorry, sorry, that was a wrong button. I pressed the wrong button. It was correct, yes.
I turned off the video, so I couldn't look.
Sorry, I pressed the wrong button. I apologize.
I turned off the video. I couldn't look.
Yeah, right. Right, last three questions.
Oh, yes, seriously.
Last three questions. Right, here we go. Jason, how long did the doctor say it would take for the power to transfer from the TARDIS to the real ship?
I don't know.
You can hazard a guess.
An hour?
Is it 4 hours?
3 to 4 hours. Well, I'm going to give you that one. Right, Mary.
Yes?
What system did the Rill say they were from?
Ooh.
You won't get this one.
I don't remember.
Anybody?
Nope.
It was the rather imaginative Another Space. They said, you are from the solar system, we are from another space.
We are from another space.
Oh, okay.
Which is what I said about the rather melodramaticness of the Rill. Right, the last question goes to Kirby.
Master.
And I'm keeping the scores a secret. Although they're not much of a secret to Jason, obviously, but there you go. In what way did Vicky emulate Susan at the end of the story?
I don't know.
Anybody? Oh, I've got a message.
Oh, what's that?
I'll tell you in a minute. Nothing interesting. Anybody? No. She hurt her ankle was the answer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
oh,
of course it's right.
When did she hurt her ankle?
At the end of the story.
Oh, at the very end.
Yeah, I did say at the end of the story in the question.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Right. So the final scores, therefore, are in last place with no points. So he's got something to build up from. It's Jason. In second place,
comes back
with 5 points. Yeah, in second place,
start studying more now. Do homework now.
In second place, with 5 points. I'm doing the big build up to the final score. Thank you very much. Second place with 5 points is Kirby, and the winner this week with 7 points is Mary.
Yay!
So I will say that it's only because Andy and Debbie were not here.
I told you about excuses, Mary. If they're not here, they can't compete. So, right, we've got sponsors, Mary.
Whowon.co.uk is one of them.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Well done. Right, yes.
It's whowon.co.uk.
Yes, and I looked past their window as I was in Ride yesterday, but couldn't go in because they were shut. Because we went to watch the Minion film yesterday in Ride.
Oh, how was that?
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just fun. A nice sort of prequel to the Despicable Me films. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Not quite as good as, I'll have to say, not quite as good as Despicable Me 1 and 2, but it's still just fun. It's worth seeing just for the fun aspect.
And are we also still being sponsored by Labarasi.com?
Oh, yeah, it was a year sponsorship, and they only started it about a month ago, so I would guess so, yes.
Okay.
Right, at 21.co.uk, you can get .2 magazine 488, which has a picture of Osgood on the front cover. You can also still get .2 magazine Monsters Special. Now, the .2 magazine is £4.99, and I know people in America have to wait a bit longer to get it, so order it from whowon.co.uk and you'll get it a bit earlier. You can also get the 11 Doctors mug. Don't know why it's 11 Doctors, but it is. The Van Gogh mug with the exploding TARDIS on it. You can also get a graphic of the exploding TARDIS in the shape of a travel pass holder. The Dalek mug also is one of the many items. Of course, they specialise in Doctor Who books and things like Big Finish CDs and stuff like that. So have a look at whoone.co.uk, where you can buy this stuff. Have you ever been to whoone.co.uk, Jason?
No, I haven't. I'll have to check it out.
Yes, you will now, because it's an official requirement of anybody who has actually been on the show. So you're a little bit overdue on that one. And no point hitting me over the head with a cardboard tube, just because I've told you need to look at whoone.co.uk.
It's a lightsaber.
Oh, it sounds more like a cardboard tube. Actually, I'll tell you what it sounds. You know when you get those flexible tubes and you wave them around your hair and they make a it sounds like a little sound bite from that. So,
yeah,
also...
I just was checking Skype. It's definitely coming from Jason.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was causing a lot of background noise.
No, it's not a lot. It's just
occasional... It's a little bit like a less annoying version of Andy breathing on his microphone.
Yeah, Andy breathing on his microphone,
Or magic flapping his ears.
I can say right now, I'm not sleeping right now.
Oh, brilliant. I love
that. Like that one time I was with you guys a couple of weeks ago, or what was it,
About a month ago.
Andy fell asleep or something.
You were actually on the show when he fell asleep.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll never let that one down.
I'm sure he'll get mad about hearing that one.
Was also quite funny in last week's show is obviously he was here with me in the studio, and I put the microphone an even distance between myself, him, and the lovely Dawn, yet his voice overpowered everybody in the whole room. So I should have perhaps just put the microphone in front of me, although you would never have heard the lovely Dawn, so maybe we shouldn't know. Yes, that was a really tricky thing to microphone positioning wise, but there was no chance of him breathing on it because he was far enough away from his nose. Navazi.co.uk, where you can get lots of, well, not just Doctor Who things. They've got a vast array of scarves and knitwear available. So I would advise just going on to your address bar and typing in lovarzi.co.uk, or even if you're in America, lovarizi, doesn't make sense to me, .co.uk, and have a look at their online catalogue. Yes, Mary?
Yes, Mary, what?
You went,
Oh, yeah, well, you said just doesn't make sense.
No,
yeah,
saying Z.
I was agreeing with you.
Z doesn't make sense. It's a Z, basically.
Right.
All right, so I think it's about time we look to Doctor Who News. They're still arguing in the other room, so that could be some Doctor Who News in itself. Co-founder of show murdered by mother.
Follow Big Finish.
Yes. No, let's go back and look back in time a little bit, because things have been happening because we haven't had a show for a few weeks. Oh, dear. Who's choking?
Me.
Right. The Doctor Who Titans series, they've released a 10th Doctor with Fez, and a 10th Doctor wearing a slightly different suit and holding a sonic screwdriver. There is also some more Titan comics stories, which I've seen some pictures of Capaldi and Prince Harry's bird on the front covers.
Your food's ready.
No, it's a message, actually. From what it is, one of my brides, wasn't one of my brides, a potential bride, messaged me to say, asked me what I can do for it in regards to a wedding video. And I said, I can't really do much if I'm already filming that day. And she said, I said, what's the day of a wedding? She said, 21st of May. I said, I'm already filming that day. And she went, oh, and put a sulky face on. Well, there you go. Book a bit earlier. Right. So, yes, we've also had the news that John Hurt has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which is it does say early stage, so I hope that means that it's a good outlook for him, but it's still quite worrying news for his fans and family and friends. Colin Baker has a new sci-fi role and it needs funding, apparently. So apparently if you go to a specific place you can send him some money, so I think there are more important things, not even funny, to spend money on, like the 20 megabyte podcast. But if you so wish to contribute to Colin's fund, then please do so. I think it's on Indiegogo. Anybody ever heard of that?
No.
Oh, God, they're still arguing.
It's familiar with Indiegogo.
You will hear some arguing in a minute, as Alicia is just about to go past in the door in mid teenage argumentative mode. Considering she's now officially an adult, she hasn't changed much. Right, so Yes, there's more Titan comics coming out. There's lots of stuff about Titan on DoctorWhoNews.net, actually. And there's a thing called Plaything of Sutek issue 4, which is a fanzine, apparently. Interesting name. Plaything of Sutek.
Plaything of Sutek.
Sounds like the name of a podcast. Right, there's a thing called the All Aboard the John Nathan Turner, and a bus named after John Nathan Turner. Why a bus? Doctor Who's long as a serving producer at the moment until Moffat, obviously, because oh god. And has entered service in the south coast city of Brighton. So if you want to go to Brighton, you'll see the John Nathan Turner bus. If you want to go and see the TARDIS, you go to Bournemouth. So it's all in the south coast. Apparently. That's the south coast of Great Britain, by the way, you American chaps and chapesses. Fitzroy Tavern, change of venue for the regular London Doctor Who fan gathering, which you lot would never go to. So there you go.
I wish I could, but I'm not rich.
There's been a cancellation for the Underwater Menace DVD.
I mentioned that about an hour ago.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have done. You do it on the news. Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on. Was that a message from Debbie Melrose? Oh, my God. Right. And we've got some very news off the press. It's just been announced that Debbie Melrose is about to join the show this evening. So let's see if we can...
Oh, my.
Yes, it's exciting, isn't it?
Gary.
Ah, there she is.
Hello.
Hello.
Where have you been?
Debbie.
Should we...
How's Isla? She's okay.
Hello.
She's doing
How's Tom?
Right. He's okay as
has he
well.
Has Tom got scarlet fever?
Well, he thought it might be, and the doctors wanted to make sure.
The doctor wanted to make sure. That's very appropriate for this show.
So, yeah, he's back, but don't think it's scarlet fever. They just think he's got a bad cold, but he's just to keep an eye on it.
Oh, well, that's good then, in a way, isn't it? Yes, so,
hello, everybody. I'm back. Hooray.
Lovely. Right.
Hello. Front and sides, too.
And that's the end of the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
I made it.
Well, we were in the middle of doing the news, so I'll just carry on with that for a little while.
Well, we need to find out what she thought of.
Not yet, we don't. We'll finish with doing the news. And then, yes, a Doctor Who festival, which I'll be going to, and I've been trying to sort of persuade this person, Debbie Melrose, isn't like that, to come along with us, but she's gone very quiet since I asked her that one, so we'll leave that
I'd
one
like
on the
to.
Balance.
How much is it?
It was only a quarter of what we paid for our family ticket. You just have to become a member of the Pearson family for the day.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my God. I can't remember how much the ticket was. Yeah.
Well, let me know, and I'll become an
honorary. You might have to pay yourself a hotel room.
That's all right.
A travelodge near the XL.
Okay.
But I'll talk about that another time.
Yes, yeah, we'll talk.
Right, yes. Talking of the Doctor Who Festival, they haven't yet announced the photo and autograph opportunities, much to my annoyance.
They just say a limited number.
Yes, and it's always limited, isn't it? It's not fair that people don't get them. But I'm keeping my hopes.
And this is going to be at the XL?
Yes, at the XL. Fantastic, can't wait.
Sounds like a spreadsheet.
And I have to say, Rick Stevens told me about this, and I went on there and got the tickets quite quickly. I did miss out on the VIP tickets, which apparently the only benefit of was you get a special VIP room to sit around with your VIP buddies to eat your lunch and things like that. So it's not anything major. Right, what else we got here? Oh, you get front row seats and the theatre things as well.
Well, that's not bad.
And there's River Song is joining Big Finish, apparently.
Yes!
Yes! Finally!
Yes!
So,
I'm finally crossing New Who and Classic Who. Yeah,
it's happening a bit more now with Torchwood and everything, so it's only a matter of time before we get some Eccleston on.
Yes,
And with their new unit series, having Dimmer Redgrave, you know, as.
Brilliant, you got a name right. Well done, Mary. I'm impressed. Right. Now we can do a bit of a rewind now. What did you think of Galaxy 4, Debbie?
I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yes.
Thank you. Right.
I mean, you and I usually agree.
I found it was quite familiar territory if you've watched all the new Who, because the way he sort of decides to make the differential between the goodies and baddies and who's good, who's bad, who deserves his help, who doesn't deserve his help. And it was great just to see that evolve in his character, having watched it from the beginning now, you know, been with him from the beginning, to actually see the darker side of his character. And it was really nice. You know, I like the fact that they just left him behind, whereas previously it was, we've got to sort of help people, and then it's not interfere, and then let's help people. And this time they just went, well, you're baddie, so you're going to die for it. And I quite enjoyed that sort of cutthroat doctor.
Well, I was arguing that, you know, it just didn't make sense for the doctor to say early on, we don't kill anybody, and then just kind of let them die off instead of trying to help them.
It's like in the space of the four episodes, he just sort of went from being this benevolent being to being a bit more, well, each man for himself.
Yeah.
And if you can't be good, then, you know, sod you.
Tough luck, then.
I've missed you, Debbie.
Tough love, yes. Tough
love,
Doctor.
Nice. Love. Even though it doesn't feel like you've been on the show for a few weeks, you actually have. You've been on every show, but just very, very small amount the last few weeks.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
I don't think I can take it
for much longer.
I was all prepared today.
Keeping Kirby under control is a great strain.
Yeah. We're going to have a meeting after this recording to decide whether, you know, she's earned enough hours on the show.
Right. So what's been going on then, Debbie?
I hope to be honest a bit more.
How was meeting Andy last week?
What, when you surprised me down in the shop?
I didn't surprise you. You said, oh, you have to bring him. You told me to bring him to the shop.
I did, yes, but then you were hiding.
Oh, yeah, but that's because...
Isabella gave you away.
Yeah, that's because I was trying to get my microphone running in time, and I it wasn't quite, because I have to give it a 30-second pre-start to get the sound right. And unfortunately, you spotted us in that 30-second period between.
I was in full-on watching every corner of the shop mode.
Yeah, some dodgy people hiding behind a load of clothes.
Sick, and, you know, it was just silly. A really silly day, that one. But it was good to see him and the lovely Dawn, obviously.
And then no one took pictures.
Yes, I know. How stupid.
Yes, that was ridiculous, wasn't it? That was your fault, because you hurried us away.
I didn't mean to. It's just I had Jan. Jan was dying of hunger.
Yeah,
and
she could have taken a picture.
At lunch.
So, yes, now we've got... She could have taken the picture.
Yeah, she could have. Yeah, yes. No, but she was already dying of lunch, and I had to go and phone the bosses to tell them someone hadn't turned up. So it was all getting a bit mental for a while.
So, Debbie, does Andy talk with the same breakneck speed in person as he does?
Yes, he was quite tired, though, so it was a little slower.
So that's the plan now. If we have to meet Andy, we have to make sure he's somewhat tired, so he's our level of talking.
Yeah, the trouble is, there's glasses of wine.
Yeah, if he's had a couple, he gets to a stage when he's had one glass of wine, he suddenly talks really, really fast.
Yeah.
And he gets a second glass of wine, he slows down a little bit. And he gets a third, then you can't understand what he's saying because he's slurring. And he gets the fourth, then he starts snoring. Yeah. So it's just getting the medium right. The medium here is podcasting, but with him, it's the amount of wine he drinks.
Out of wine, yeah.
So, what have you got to say for yourself then, Debbie?
In what way?
I don't know. You haven't been on the show in a correct answer. Oh, actually, we could talk about the previous stories that we did that you haven't commented on, couldn't we? Don't go blank on me.
Tyler just asked me if I thought the toilet needs cleaning.
Is that some way of changing the subject?
Yes, I know. I'll be back in a second.
Oh, my God. Live toilet cleaning here on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Well, us Brits do like our toilet humour. Right. So what did we talk about the previous week then, everyone? It wasn't
where our memories
toilet.
Are short.
They can't see you, Isla. You can't wave. Come on.
Hello, Isla. Isla, what are you doing up? It's 9:20 at night.
I think this medication's got a lot of sugar.
It's 20 past four in the afternoon.
And you're not very well.
She's gone up now, but she's what? Yeah, she's, I think the meds have got a stupid amount of sugar in them. She is bouncing off the walls. So we're just sort of leaving her to it.
Okay, well, she can stay in while you tell me about what you thought of the chase. Did you talk about the one?
Notes for that one.
You didn't watch it?
I did watch it. I told you I watched it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Good, that's all right. So what did you think of, what was the next one after the chase? That was the Time Meddler.
Time Meddler. As I said when you came in with Andy, I was enjoying it, but I was quite distracted by, is it Peter Butterworth?
Yes.
Is that his name? Yeah. Because all I remember him is from Carry On movies. And he, as you said, he always plays Peter Butterworth.
Oh, thank you. So I'm right, as usual.
Yeah, it's quite difficult to watch, but I enjoyed him. I thought it was a clever character, but I just couldn't get past the Carry On thing.
Mm. So how would you have got on in the quizzes?
Middling, I think.
So basically, what she's trying to say, she would have won, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. She reduced her notes to 12 pages from 36.
Yeah. And yeah, do you think that Andy cheats by having the script in front of him while doing the...
I've actually had to start a second book of notes with this one. That's why I don't have my notes from the other two, because they're somewhere with Isla.
Are these the superfluous notes for the story we've just revised?
Yes.
Reviewed, sorry.
Yes. Let's have a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, go on, then you might be able to do a better review of it than we did.
12 notes. 12 pages.
Oh, dear.
Didn't I say 12?
Yes.
if you guys have seen the chase... Before.
Such brevity!
Yeah, sorry, Jason.
Now, this is kind of sort of spoiler in a sense, but if y'all have seen The Chase, Dalek Evil Master Pen has certain essence that remind me a lot of The Chase. I'm not going to say what exactly, but when you do watch it, you'd be like, is this like a repeat of The Chase in a sense? So when you watch Dalek, when you get a chance to check out Dalek Evil Master Pen, you might see the comparison.
Yes. Well, yes, indeed. Yes, it seemed to be a way they were going down with the Dalek stories after The Chase, probably because The Chase was quite popular, probably at the time. And stop hitting me over the head with that cardboard tube, please, because I'm starting to get a bit of a headache.
What?
Right. Yes, so you listened to the last podcast then, Debbie?
I haven't listened to the last one.
Well, that was a bit foolish.
I know.
Because
I haven't either.
I was driving home with a couple of old workmates. One of them was Elaine. Remember Elaine?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit of the show in which I say, Debbie Melrose is a very intellectual woman. And she went, that's right, she is. I was hoped you were going to listen to that particularly interesting comment that I made about you.
Yeah, I'm due to listen to it as I've downloaded it.
Yeah.
But I barely had time to finish this last episode of Galaxy 4 because Isla was trying to show me every which way of jumping, and that involved pulling off my headphones every 2 seconds to tell me to watch.
Okay.
So I've barely made it. When it was, I think I finished at 5:30 this afternoon.
Mm, okay, fair enough. Right.
Yeah. So I apologise for not having listened to the last one.
On the 12th of June, Christopher Lee died.
Yes.
And somebody did ask the question why he'd never been in Doctor Who. Probably because he'd never been asked to, I'd imagine.
I thought he just didn't like it. That's what I've heard.
Oh,
unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, we won't make any more mentions of Christopher Lee.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, he just didn't care for it.
Yeah, probably never watched it, really.
I think so, because if I remember, maybe that was Matthew's article, but he said something about, like, he tried to convince Peter Cushing not to do the Doctor Who movies as well.
Yeah.
I remember. I think that was from Matthew's article.
That was, yeah.
So if he's only watched the movies, you can understand why he didn't like it. Yes, we have.
Adam, did you see on our Facebook page the Michael Pierre Guidi, I think it is, who very excitedly says, you mentioned me. I love listening to you guys. You guys make me laugh all the time.
Now, Mary, did I talk about feedback earlier on, didn't I? And I said, yes. To, I said to you specifically.
Did you mention, okay, but I didn't see that. I went right past it.
Well, this is one of your jobs on the show. I'll tell you what. I should really deduct
a
point.
I'll pay closer attention next time. But I won't. But, you know, you always say we never hear from people who listen to us. And so
we hardly
when
ever,
I saw that, I thought, oh, I wonder
yes,
if that
that's what that's the sort of thing I'm looking for. And if you're, it is your job to surf the 20megabyte.2 podcast Facebook group to
well,
pick
I didn't
up
know
such
that,
things.
So I will in future
yes.
take that job seriously.
It's also your job to mispronounce the URL for our sponsors. Why did I get three batters over the head with the tube on that particular occasion? That's really weird. And Debbie's going to go,
put your
oh.
lightsaber up.
So, yes, so we've covered about 3 weeks of Doctor Who with the absence of Debbie Melrose in about 5 minutes. So that's pretty good going, really. Next week, we'll be looking at two stories. One is Mission to the Unknown. The other one, no, it won't be next week, will it? It'll be in a couple of weeks' time. The other one will be Mythmakers.
Now, so we are skipping next Sunday and moving on to the following.
Sadly, yes, I'd like to do it next Sunday, but there's no way I'm really going to have time to listen to a six-part, well, essentially a seven-part story in that time. Sorry.
Oh, so Mission to the Unknown is not a story by itself?
Yes, it is, but you've got to add that to the episodes of The Mythmakers.
Have y'all, okay. I don't know if y'all seen this copy or not, but I saw it in one of my recent Doctor Who club meetings for Mission to the Unknown. There was an animated version of it.
What was that?
Yes.
Yeah, there's an animated yes. version. I don't know if y'all have copies of it or not.
Ooh, where would that well, yes.
Mythmakers is only four episodes, not six.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, it'll be next week then. We will be recording next week on the 5th of July.
Maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
No. So you can celebrate your, I mean, centenary, whatever, Independence Day, whatever, and yes. then come and do the podcast. So, yes. Don't sound
at
too enthusiastic about
at
it.
At 8 o'clock,
even twice.
And we're doing both Mission to the Unknown and Mythmakers.
Yes, essentially it's five episodes of Doctor Who. Because okay. Kirby assures me Mythmakers is four episodes. So that four plus one is five, so yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yes, if you go onto Wikipedia, Mythmakers has four episodes.
Okay. Wikipedia obviously is spot on, completely accurate in every sense.
Well, on things like this, yes.
Okay.
I love Wiki.
Okay, so hopefully by this time next week, all of Debbie's family will be well, including herself.
It better be.
Andy will be sober. Jason will have his mind in one place.
Yeah. Did you say Andy would be sober?
Yeah.
Good.
I say that's...
Hey, Andy.
Can't guarantee that.
No, you can't, but sober enough not to fall asleep or slur any of his words during the show.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was.
Is he asleep? Yes.
No, so when he said, who's snoring? Is that you, Andy? No, it isn't. No, no.
Yeah, you weren't on earlier, Debbie. I was making a comment, making fun of Andy about his snoring that time when I was with Kirby at Timegate.
Yes.
They were just kind of making a funny joke about him.
Yeah, but was
time.
There anybody else in the room listening to him snore? And what sort of impression does that set to people when somebody, one of the hosts of the show, falls asleep during the podcast? What sort of image does that set to our potential listeners?
The word slick is appropriate there. Mm. Yeah. We were so slick that evening.
Yeah, I know I was. It's you lot that is a blooming problem.
I protest.
No, you don't. Mm. Right. So, as I say, I forgot to mention a few things that did happen since we last recorded. And we last recorded on the 15th of June. So, since then, Isabella had a recorder lesson on the 18th of June. Then she had a rehearsal for a show on the 19th of June. I was roped into filming that show by my videography colleague, Boris Gilliam, on the 20th of June. I had to film it twice, funny enough. I also had to go and see one of my bridal couples to show them their wedding video that morning. Then it was Father's Day, and I got a card off Alicia. That was on the 21st. I had to do a day's work on that day as well. And then on the 22nd, my daughter Alicia, who is the co-founder of this podcast, had her 18th birthday.
Yay!
She is now legally an adult. Unfortunately, her mind hasn't realised this yet.
You love yourself.
That's right, because she's 27 then.
So we went for a family meal at the Woodvale, which was very, very tasty. That's a pub in Gurnard, by the way, Debbie.
Yes, I know.
We've never actually had a meal there before. I tell you what, I recommend it.
I eat there quite often.
A really, really good value for money and really good meal. They served me a gammon steak and it was sizzling on the plate. This is cracking. so then I did a pre-wedding photo shoot on the 23rd of June, along with another day's work. On the 24th, I went to a concert in the O2 of Fleetwood Mac. It was rather fantastic. And then I had the day's work on the 25th. I did loads of work. Basically, I've got two full-time jobs, and Kirby does not appreciate this. He thinks I should devote all my time to Doctor Who when I've got two full-time jobs. What do you think of that, Deb?
What, devoting the whole full-time to Doctor Who?
When I've got two full-time jobs. How am I supposed to do that? And do a podcast?
I'm up for it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've not been able to manage it of late. I'm not exactly a good example.
Now, Friday epitomised my life because I got up for work at 5:30 in the morning, went to work between 6:30 and 3:15 in the afternoon. Then I had to do 3 hours of photography of the Lane Stars school. And then I had to have two bridal meetings, which didn't finish till 9 p.m. So basically I was working non-stop from 6:30 in the morning to 10 p.m. And Kirby thinks that I've got plenty of time to devote to reviewing and watching Doctor Who episodes and doing a podcast.
That's right.
That's what we expect.
I've just given up putting time away for it. I just wander around the house with my notebook and my headphones.
I thought you were going to say something else then for a minute. Wander around the house with my... what's she going to say?
No, don't worry. Yeah. But I've just given up trying to sit in my quiet corner and watch Doctor Who and review and enjoy and listen to Big Finish and things like that. I now just wander around the house with one earbud in, just listening to it and watching it and trying to get as much in as I can before I have to run off and do something else for Isla.
I've just had a cracking message from the bride I mentioned earlier, by the way. I've just had a cracking message.
Yes,
I've
started listening to Big Finish. So I'm
good girl.
Really just... What's the matter?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, no, it's good that you started listening to Be Finished, but I've just got a cracking message from the bride I mentioned earlier on. She just said, has the other couple booked on the 21st of May, have they paid a deposit? Yes, the answer is yes, otherwise they wouldn't be booked. Anyway, so on the 27th, I actually had a little bit of time because I did the photo shoot in the morning with Lane Stars for 3 hours. And then we went and watched the Minions film in the evening at Rock. Will you stop hitting me over the head with that blimmin' tube?
Sorry.
Yeah,
what
so,
on earth?
So that's it, really. That's my week. And then the wedding season begins again. Concert weddings all the way through July. So that makes me want to break wind live on air. So we were talking about ammonia. It's very topical for Galaxy 4, so I thought that would be appropriate on this occasion too. Anyway, right, so next week we'll be talking about two stories. It won't happen again, by the way, but it is happening on this occasion. Mission to the Unknown and Mythmakers. And I will say, when I listened to the audio of Mythmakers many years ago, probably about 10 years ago, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I'm hoping to thoroughly enjoy even more the reconstruction. And I hope there's a decent reconstruction online. I'm sure Kirby's going to tell me that somewhere along the line. Also, if you do find a link to this animated version, please let me know.
Yes, I will post I've posted about the animated versions of all of these.
Have you?
Many times.
Have you? Okay.
Yes.
So if you want to read Kirby's fascinating posts, please join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
I'm not going to post that until later. I've got some other things to do.
Have you now? Right. And I'm going to get a drink because my voice is drying up. So until next week, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for coming on the show, Debbie and Jason. And yeah, that's about it, really. Bye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye. Goodbye, fancy pants.
You missed it.
Who won?
I did.
Co.uk.
Yay.
Well, very good, Kirby. Oh, that's it. Oh my God! It had to happen at one point. After 4 years, we finally get a rim shot that's actually
thinking there.
Yeah, hang on, a rim shot that Matt can't even be bothered to play, which is quite amusing in some ways. There we go.
So, Dev, what got you listening to Big Finish?
Well, hearing you and Matthew talk about it.
What? Oh. You listen to their bloody podcast. You don't listen to ours. That's it. Magic.
And you say, Master, you say you don't have time to keep up with stuff. I don't have time to listen to Big Finish, even though I'd love to.
Well, I listen to Big Finish going to work, so that's how I can listen to it.
Well, I'll tell you, I listened to it
doing chores around the house.
It took me a month to listen to the William Shatner book, but there, bear in mind, I had 2 12-hour drives or journeys to there and back from to Disneyland Paris, and also the journey to and from
I love the O2. Lucia looks like she really actually quite enjoyed it, but didn't really want to admit it.
Yeah.
I'm way behind on the Big Finish, but I finally caught up to the last story I've listened to was the Sixth Doctor and Evelyn on the pirate ship, the one they, or Colin Baker singing the songs in that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I love Evelyn.
I've got to run, so I'll talk to you guys next week.
First thing, time for everything.
Bye.
Bye. No, I've got to go as well in a minute. I just want to send Kirby this picture.
Well, I'm glad I managed to get on.
So am I. That's what she said.
Yeah, it was nice talking with you, yeah.
Sorry, that was a surprise. That's what she said, wasn't it?
I had everything on the table set up here because I was going to do it in the kitchen.
So were you now? That's what she said.
Yeah, that's what she said. I had my notes ready, everything ready, and then Tom was like, I really don't feel very well.
Poor Tom.
Yeah.
House of Plague.
Yes, it usually is, though, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad to hear that he's doing okay and that Isla's doing better.
No, Isla's not bright red anymore. She's okay. She's doing all right. The antibiotics are gross, so she's doing all right.
Her being embarrassed by you is suddenly dissipated.
I haven't heard anyone with scarlet fever for a very long time.
It's rife on the Isle of Wight.
It's rife on here for some reason.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB service production and a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.